Yes, it's the Thursday night movie review. My name is Joff. Hello, thank you for sticking us on. We are looking at the films worth watching this weekend. If you fancy going out and sitting in a darkened room, either on your own or with friends, I have a man who can tell us if the new films out this week are worth watching. It's the film critic and writer Mark Searby. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks, Joff.
First, a film that's been getting so much press, I've noticed. There's like been posters for it and everything. It's a film that's based on some computer games that first started in the 1990s. I never understood the games. Tell me about Warcraft.
Well, I never understood the games either, Joff, because I've never played them. So, you know, a bit of a disclaimer, I guess, to start. And the thing is, I know nothing about Warcraft, apart from the South Park episode, which they make a big joke out of it. So that's my only experience with Warcraft. The story is about a realm of Azeroth, I think I've pronounced that right, as humans who inhabit that world must do battle with fearsome orcs who have come to invade their peaceful lands. So, I mean, going in cold, it's interesting to watch a film like that. Visually, it's stunning. Real eye-popping work. You can tell that they've made great detail, great care into putting this this visual feast in front of us. The 3D is phenomenal. It's absolutely magnificent. The problem with the film is that anybody who has never played the computer game will not have a clue what's happening. The storyline doesn't open itself up for newcomers. Trying to understand what's happening is half the task in itself. I managed to deduce that orcs have green power and humans have blue. Beyond that, didn't understand anything. Then they throw up this purple power and it completely lost me. I tried to make a real effort to follow the storyline, but gave up about an hour in after the orcs started fighting for a reason I have no idea. The battle scenes are quite brutal, quite bloody, but once again, no idea why they're taking place. And also, for a film with so many characters in it, it felt completely devoid of any character development. It's not that this is a truly bad film, it's simply incoherent to anybody who doesn't have a great in-depth knowledge of the game. I mean, once you get past these stunning visuals, it's a real slog to follow the movie. I think it's one for the true fans only. Everybody else, it's just going to come out scratching their head and thinking, what happened to those 2 hours that we were watching a film for?
Was it very awkward? Get it?
Oh, no.
Okay. If you enjoyed the computer games, you will probably enjoy the film. Otherwise, you may be baffled by the sound of it. Warcraft, new at cinemas this weekend. And so to a film that has got, two behemoths of the film world in this, we have got Anthony Hopkins and Al Pacino. Are these two guys going head-to-head in Misconduct?
They are, actually. There's a scene in it where they're in the boardroom facing off against each other. And that's the only interesting scene in the entire film.
Oh, excellent. Good, right.
Yeah. It's a legal thriller that has a little bit of legal stuff in there and is not a thriller at all. It's such a boring film. There's bits of this story that are started and never ended. The characters are cliched. There's nothing ever in depth about them. You kind of get this feeling that there's nothing, that the script must have been written on a napkin. It's so dull and so uninteresting. I mean, Anthony Hopkins is here and he's basically playing Hannibal Lecter in the wild. That's it. Al Pacino's in it for probably 20 minutes and he actually steals the film in the finale with a gun and some lines of Shakespeare, which you kind of wouldn't expect at all. It wants to be kind of like The Devil's Advocate, but it's nowhere near that. It's just not interesting. And the cinematography is so dark in it that half the film, most of the characters are all in the shadows. I don't know if that's intentional or just bad cinematography. It's so poor. And the thing is, it's meant to be sinister. There's no sinisterness about it. It's really, really bad. I just can't believe that a film like this with two big heavy hitters like Pacino and Hopkins, and then we've got Josh Duhamel in there as well, Malin Ackerman as well, and you just sit there and think, this is rubbish. This is absolutely rubbish. It's not a film that is any good at all.
Come on then, is the last film going to redeem us all? The Nice Guys. We've got Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe teaming up in 1970s LA. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the good news is I've saved the best for last. It is this is so much fun, this film. It's from the director Shane Black, who did the Lethal Weapon films. He did Iron Man 3. So if you know his work, which is basically adult buddy comedies, then this is the same thing. He doesn't stray from that golden path. And essentially, this movie is a sleuth spoof with two haphazard detectives. The Ryan Gosling character is very much like Inspector Gadget, because he gets into these situations only to be rescued time and again by his tag-along daughter. It's every bit as fun as it should be. The majority of the film is left to Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling to do this classic buddy crime comedy caper stuff. I mean, the story is that they are a pair of mismatched private eyes who are investigating the death of a fading adult star during the late 1970s in Los Angeles. I don't think I stopped laughing until the credits rolled. It is one joke after another. There are a couple of really big set pieces that include action and comedy. There's a short scene in a toilet that is two parts hilarious, one part sexy. I know that sounds weird. It is true, honestly. The finale is a series of people shooting guns and other people falling down a lot. And by that, I mean falling out of windows, onto cars, into pools. It's hilarious. And it's not afraid to use a few naughty words as well, which is pleasing, because buddy comedies, I kind of feel like, should be ramped up a little bit, should be a little bit more adult from time to time. Also, it's got a killer 70s disco soundtrack and a cameo from one of the biggest 70s disco bands. I just had so much fun with this film. It's a hoot from start to finish. It's got so many classic crime twists in the storyline. It's got some great comedic lines and some of the best acting I've seen this year. I mean, Crowe and Gosling are almost like Laurel and Hardy, with added elements of The Big Lebowski thrown in. There's so much to enjoy about this film. It just keeps you laughing along for 2 hours.
I'm glad that one has boosted things somewhat after the first two films. The Nice Guys then, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe doing their thing in the 1970s. Get your flares out. It's the Thursday Night Movie Review. We're looking at the films worth watching this weekend. Let's do a DVD, shall we? A film that came out, was this earlier this year, end of last year? Jack Black doing his thing in Goosebumps.
This is Goosebumps, which is based on the first few books by the author R.L. Stine. And here it follows the adventures of Zach, who's a teenager now moved to a small town in middle America. There he discovers his neighbors aren't all they seem and must do battle with a volume of monsters that are terrorizing the town. Here's how to describe Goosebumps. Fun, fun, fun. It's more than happy to make jokes and do plenty of slapstick humour throughout. Of course, it helps if you have somebody like Jack Black in one of the lead roles. He's highly entertaining and he plays the strict adult very well, but then he sort of changes and becomes the usual Jack Black we know. The kids in the film are entertaining as well. They're never obnoxious, and following them is an adventure into itself as they sort of twist and turn and duck and roll through all manner of houses, gardens, schools, monsters as well. And speaking of monsters, they're so cool in this, and scary as well, but on the right side of scary. They give just enough chills without being full-blown horror movie. But we all love a good horror movie as adults, but kids have to start somewhere, and this is the perfect place for them. It's got its own little jump scares, but more interestingly, especially for us adults, it references so many classic horror films that it's tough to catch them all on the first time round watching it. I've seen it 3 times now, and on that third watch, there were still bits I was picking up. It's so in-depth with its horror references, and at times it goes meta on itself, referencing its own books and what's previously happened. But it's not confusing. In fact, it's very funny, and the finale is just one massive mudslide of monsters trying to rip the town apart and also trying to grab hold of its inhabitants. It's all out fun. Apart from one character who I've got to bring up, Slappy. He is a ventriloquist dummy who comes alive. And I say it's not funny because it's really scary. He would not be out of place in an 18-rated horror movie. He's one of the best monsters in the movie, even if he is a little bit scary. As I said before. This is just all out fun. It really is. It's got loads of humour. It's got plenty of monsters. It's got a, well, talking of monsters, actually, a particular favourite of mine is the Army of Killer Gnomes. It's got a nice little romance story built in as well. It's the perfect kids horror adventure movie that adults will enjoy as much, if not a little bit more, but I don't think we're allowed to let on.
If you've got the kids on the last weekend of the half term, you see this in the supermarket, maybe pick it up for the weekend. Mark, thank you very much, as always. See you at the usual time, then.
Yes, will do.
Thursday night movie review back next Thursday.
Hooray!